Genesis chapter number 2 this morning, and I will read the text, and I've got to go over to the book of 2 Corinthians and bring some stuff in, but I'm going to read this text first, let him sing a song, and then let me tell you, if God squeezes your heart, and that juice called tears starts to come down your cheeks, and you need to thank somebody, you want to thank the Lord, you want to testify. You said, are you going to preach? I'm going to preach, but I don't know what God might do. And if he don't have me preach this right now, I'll preach it some other time. But I want you to do me this promise and do it before God. Be obedient. Brother Brian said, I shouldn't have popped up twice. No, I said, yeah, you should have. You should have popped up twice. And you should pop up a third time if God nudges your heart to do it. And a fourth. And a fifth. Mind the Lord. Brother Woody, if he was sitting right there where Brother Ken sits or right in front there, what would Brother Woody tell you? He would say, mind the Lord, children. That's what he would be saying. Mind the Lord, children. And that's all I want you to do. Just mind the Lord, children. This week alone, where's Miss Lori Burgess? 2 days in the intensive care unit. Back on the pew on Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on her. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Melissa rear-ended at a stoplight by a tractor and trailer, but just had dropped off her grandbaby. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen. Brother Potts took a fall back yonder. Talked to him on the telephone numerous times, went to his house, couldn't hardly even breathe. I'm talking about had difficulty breathing. Here he sits on church pew on Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And so goes the story of all of our lives. We've got problems. We got things we face every day. But thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I mean, tell me God ain't good, Brother Grant. He is good. If he's good in your life, you ought to share it with somebody once in a while. That song said, lift me up. And we were singing that, Brother Brian. Lift me up above the shadow. Let God lift me up. Why? That they might see Christ in me. Why? Because the Bible said that if I be lifted up, speaking of Christ, Brother Tam, what'd he say he would do? And if I be lifted up, what'd he say, preacher? He said, I will draw all men unto me. Brother Casey's going to sing after we stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word. Brother Preston, throw me in my microphone. I'll have to stand right here if I don't. And I'm not usually standing right there very long. Can y'all still hear me before I put this on? What y'all laughing about back there? Who is that? Martha, yeah. Everybody's pointing at Martha. I don't know. Martha's pointing at Marlene. Happy birthday, Jerry. I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry. In the book of Genesis, I want you to hear what was going on. God had made everything. God thought that everything he made was good. That's what he said. You read it in the scriptures. He said he made this and he looked and he said it was good. He looked this and said that it was good. He made this and said that it was good. Long down about verse number 18, the Bible said, and the Lord God said, it is not good. That's the first time you see that something was not good. Otherwise, you look into the scriptures. I'm not making it up. You just go back there and read the account of the creation, and you'll see that what God made, he said it was good. And it was. But long about verse number 18, God said, "And it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and of the fowl of the air, and the beast, and the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Brother Tam, ask God to bless our scripture reading. Brother Casey, you ready to sing, I guess? You've got the yellow microphone on the piano mic, and you got this one muted right now so I don't kill everybody with it. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Tam.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Many of you right now don't know this. Some of you do, but I've got a daughter about 36,000 feet off the ground, somewhere between here and London, England, right over the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You say, well, how in the world do you deal with that? You do the same way you do it if she was standing over in Hickory. Just put her in the Lord's hands. They're flying home today, and that's been my prayer for the last several days, that whenever they come out, just be safe, and that God would bring them home safely. Lacey, you got a good daddy. I saw you come up here and hug him. Honor your mom and your daddy. That's the first commandment that had any attachment to it. That's the very first one that had any kind of a promise attached to it. Children, honor your parents. Obey mom and daddy. That's the Bible, that your days may be long upon the earth. That's the very first one that had a promise attached to it. Somebody here today is wanting to say something. And I'm still going to preach until God just says you ain't going to. I'm going to preach. But you look around right now. If you've got all your youngins in the house of God, if all your children are saved by God's grace, if you've got something like that in your heart, well, ask God, you ought to praise the Lord for it. You got grandchildren that are saved, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. We got a roof over our head, shoes on our feet. Bless God, we got clothes on our back. Most of us driving relatively new vehicles out there in the parking lot. You look through out here, there's $2 or $3 million worth of vehicles sitting in the parking lot. You add up the collective value of our homes. Bless God, Brother Tam, we're referring to the millions and millions of dollars of home. You said, is that the blessing, having fine cars and houses? No, but bless God, my children are saved by God's grace. Your grandchildren are saved by God's grace. Bless God, you got a mom and daddy that loved you so much that they would take you to the Lord's house, that you could hear from heaven. Brother Kenny, you went off to the army. Bless God, the army, when you were signed up to them, they could have sent you anywhere, on any battlefield, at any time. You could have got you some marching orders. And bless God, when you got your orders there, you'd have been on some foreign field. You could have went to Vietnam or anywhere else, as some of these other men did. But God saw fit to do something for you, which is bring you back home. And Brother Kenny has testified about this so many different times, that when he come back, he says something had happened while he was gone. What was that something, Brother Gwen? Something had infiltrated the old Anderson household over there. And Brother Kenny come back. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what had changed. Much like Brother Tam, when you sat under your daddy's roof, bless God, he sat in the house as a PK, a preacher's kid, going through life, living life recklessly in a life of sin, playing the part because daddy was a pastor. But something changed on one Sunday morning. Bless God, something got a hold of Kenny Anderson on one Sunday morning. And he come in here. He saw people sitting around clothed and in the right mind, worshiping a thrice holy God. You said, did Kenny get saved that day? No, he didn't, but he got saved shortly thereafter. Brother Tam, you didn't get saved every time daddy stood and prayed. Oh, but that was one morning. God broke you down and showed you your lost condition, hanging out over a devil's hell, and he saved you. And bless God, you got something to thank the Lord for. Amen. Take it from the chorus one time to turn around, then we're going to preach. Just thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Everybody did. Everybody's not like one of these four kids raised in a home that loves God and fears God. Some of you were raised in a rough home, in a rough environment. But God can get into the midst of that rough environment and save you off of a bar stool, out of a drug house, the same as he can save you off of a church pew because mom and daddy saw fit to take you. Today I want to preach just a little bit about the origin of the church. Where did the church start from? It started from God. Where'd the home start from? It started from God. Every good and every perfect gift, where'd it come from? It come from above, from the Father of lights. It come from heaven on high. The origin of the home is this, that God, everything's going to be about God. God saw Joe, and Joe needed a wife, so he gave him a young Stephanie. Ain't that a blessing? Then he blessed you too with more children. And bless God, we have to take the word of God literally. That word asunder, it means to tear apart. And what God hath joined together, let not man pull asunder. Let not man tear that apart. Why? Because if you're going to be a representative of the gospel, and this gospel thing's going to keep going to future generations, they going to have to be some godly little kids coming along. And they going to have to be raised up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Why? Because my generation will die out. Then it'll be up to your generation. And bless God, if you don't procreate and put the earth like God said to do. Whenever Noah got off the ark, he said to replenish the earth. You said to replenish. He said it twice in the book of Genesis. And the first time he said it, he didn't mean that there were people here before Adam and Eve. When he says replenish, that's not a past tense of the word plenish, because there is no word plenish. He said to replenish or to fill it up. And what did he do? He instituted, he originated the home. And that's what God meant whenever he said to be fruitful and to multiply. Why? Because there's a generation of people that's going to come up that'll know not God, Brother Tam. And their eyelids, are they going to be lofty, lifted up in themselves? They'll curse their mama. But bless God, they better be some coming along, Brother Kenny. Come out of some preacher's houses. They better be some coming out of your house and my house that love the Lord, that fear God, that'll take this generation that is to come the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Others still praying. Somebody got a word. I'm done for just right now. Everybody good? My friend Satan has tried his best, and I'll catch a verse of scripture. I wanted to get it earlier. Satan has tried his best to blind us to the gospel. He does that by using us against ourselves. He gives us manifold blessings, as Brother Casey just sang about. Thank you, Brother Casey, for being obedient. I put him on the spot. He didn't know he was singing today, but I appreciate you being willing anyway. But Satan will use us against ourselves. You say, well, how does he do that? He gives us blessings. Brother Casey's singing about, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. If we're not very careful, Satan will blind us with blessings. I don't know, we're about ready to roll two messages into one, it seems like, but we're going to follow God. You said he'll blind us with blessings. Yeah, there's many people in here got campers, but you don't use them on Sunday because you're in God's house. There's many people in here got kayaks, but you know where to be at the house of God on Sunday morning. You're not on the river. Some of you have got beach homes, and for that, I'm not jealous at all. I thank God. I hope he gives you a mountain home to go with your beach home. But bless God, you're here. Some of you have got all kinds of instruments of toys and fun and frivolity. You got all these different things. But bless God, you know where your place is at. And Satan will blind us with our blessings. Satan gives you blessing. Bless God, God allows us to have it. But just as God gives it, Satan will manipulate it. And he'll cause it to be a curse against you. And he'll use that against you to blind you to what God has ordained and given you to start with. He'll sure do it. God will bless you and give it to you. The next thing you know, Satan's used it as a tool against you, and you put it in front of him. He'll blind you so many different ways. That verse of scripture I was going to read was in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to go back to Genesis just here in just a second. But the Bible said that the gospel is hid, but if the gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, and that's the little g of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan will blind us with our sin. He'll blind us with ourselves and our own blessing. He'll blind us with salvation, not by telling you don't need to be saved, but Brother Gwynn, he'll say you don't need to do it right now. Just wait just a little while, live it up a little bit, sow your wild oats, and everything will be all right. You can always get saved later. Bless God, that's a lie. That's hatched straight out of the bottom pits of a devil's hell. Why? Because Jesus said today is the day. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Right now is the appointed time. Isaiah 1:18 said, come when? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. It's always a very present help. It's always a present salvation. But anyway, I'm going back to the book of Genesis even now, and I want to preach just a little while. With the Lord as my helper. You said we've already got straight up 12 o'clock. It'll be all right. Y'all give me just a few minutes of your time, and we'll be in and out of here. But I want to talk about the origin of the home just a minute. The who of this thing is right there in verse number 18 of the second chapter. And whenever I read that, it said, God said, bless God. And then verse number 21, and the Bible said, and the Lord God caused. The who of the origin of the Bible is God. God is the giver of life. He is the one that sustains life. And he is the one at the end of our day will take our life unto us. No man has that power, bless God, except that a man have life given from God. God sustains us. He gives the life. And bless God, one day he'll claim it and he'll take us back. So if we look at the origin of the home, it's all about God. You can see that. You said, well, why would God even institute or ordain or originate in a home? Bless God, because of the loneliness of man. He made man there, and everything that he had made aforetime, he said that it was good. But then God made man and he said it's not good. And then if you were to look back in 1 and 28 on the earlier chapter, it said God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. You say, what's that all about? That's the why. God said, I made a man. It wasn't good, so I made him a woman. He said, because of that, I want them to procreate. And I want them to replenish the earth. I want them to be fruitful, and I want them to multiply. And you said, how in the world are they going to do that? They're going to do it through the confines of marriage if they do it God's way. You said, well, you don't have to be married to have a baby, preacher. Bless God, you want to do it God's way, you'll be married. You'll have one man for one woman, and that's the way God will do it. And that is how
how he ordained or originated the home. He did that, Robbie. He's never changed from it. He's not going to change from it. You've got a whole bunch of scientists right now and Scientologists and people telling you that two people of the same gender can come together and they can be just as good a parents as a heterosexual couple. Brother, that's a lie. That's straight out of hell. You said, well, they can adopt or they can have in vitro fertilization. But Scott, it's still going to take a man and it's going to take a woman. I don't care who you are. It's going to take both. You ain't going to have two women and have two eggs. But Scott, they got to be the seed of man. And that's just the way that it is. Like it, lump it, take it, leave it. You can't have two men coming together and have the seed of two men because there is no ovum. There is no egg. There is nothing to fertilize. Let me tell you, God ordained it. That's just the way that it is. It's as simple as that. And you say, well, two genders can go and do this or do that. But Scott, they can do that, but they're not doing it God's way. They can do it, but they're not doing it the way of God. So here we are. We're going to be really fast this morning. Y'all just hang on. Go with me. But the origin of the home, it started with God. God is the how. God is the who. And God is the why of the modern day home and also the biblical home. That's God. That's God ordained. Everything through the book of Genesis, I didn't count them. But you look at how many times God said, the Lord said, God said. Look at verse number 26. Look at verse number 25. And God made of chapter number 1. And God made. And verse number 27. And God said. And 27. And God created. On down through there, verse number 28, and God blessed. All the way down through there, God, God, God. Let me tell you, He is Jehovah God. He is the Father. He is the Son, and He is the Holy Ghost. He said, let us make man in our image. Bless God. It was God in the beginning. He ordained the original home. Before there was ever a church, there was a home. I made a statement in our Sunday school class in leaving that the homes are like little mini churches. They really are. They're set up that way by God. Christ being the head of the church. Who's right under the head of the church? That's the man. Just don't get this thing out of context. And the man is above the woman and so on down through the umbrella of God's grace and how He set this thing up. But it all starts with God. Every bit of it. You say, preacher, what's after the origin of the home? This is what God give me. There's an order. It's supposed to be a certain order in the home. And if you get that order out of whack, my friends, you got problems. If Stephanie says, I'm now going to be the head of our house, Brother Joe, you got a problem. You say, what do I do? Smack her down into her place? No, you better start praying. But I pray to God that it never happens that your woman would try to usurp authority over you. But there's a bunch of lazy men. Can I get an amen? We got a bunch of lazy men that will not get out of bed, that will not train their children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, that will not love their wives. The Bible says, husbands, you love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. I believe in my heart, you said you'd give your life for your youngins, and you included Bubba in that. You said you'd give your life, but there ain't a doubt in my mind, Brother Kenny Anderson, that you'd give your life for Miss Shirley. Amen. I believe that. I would yield my life at this very moment in time for either one of my daughters. I'd yield my life for my wife. I promise you that, Brother Gerald. I'd give my life for them as Christ gave His life for the church. But I'm not going to be ready to die for Varun Patel. Sorry, Varun Patel. I'm being honest. Let's keep it real. God ordained the home, and He originated the home. But bless God, when He made the home, He had a certain order about it. It's supposed to be that way, the husband and the wife. You said one's above the other. Not so, not according to the Word of God. We're going to go back to the Bible. And this is more message than I can preach in one day. But if we were to go back to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5, and you're welcome to flip back there with me, Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll also be in Ephesians chapter number 6. You get right in there really quickly with me. I'm going to try to pray. Are y'all still okay? Y'all all right? I know I try to... Just try to mind the Lord, okay? This is a lot to preach in a short amount of time, but I do want to get some of it out here. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, husbands, in verse number 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Also ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife, he loveth himself. For no man yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ in the church. And then it goes right into chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'm telling you, there is a certain order in the home. Bless God, husbands and wives, you want to do anything for your blessed children. Bless God, you want to love one another. There's a whole lot of it rolled in here today, or somebody brought in here today that may not have the opportunity that you've got. I know divorce happens. I know that marriages crumble, and I know these things come about, but bless God, God doesn't throw the clay away. He makes it again to good to the potter to make it, and bless God, you can still rise up from the dust and the ashes of that failing and go on to still be a blessing to some child somewhere. I promise you that. God doesn't discard. He has an order. He wants his order to be kept, but I do understand that Satan comes in. I do understand that. I just fully do. But God doesn't just take that lump of clay. Oh, this one's messed up. No, he makes it again. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that he's the God of second chances? Yeah, there's origin in the home and the ordination of the home or ordaining of the home. But best God, there should be a certain order of the home, that Christ is the head of the household and that God made man to be over the woman. We can see that there. And then he called the children to be in obedience unto those parents. Let me just tell you, any element, any arrogance, any such sort in your life, in your home is out of whack or out of that order. If the wife's in charge and the husband's not, best God, your house is out of order. That's just the way it is. Your house is out of order. Keep going. We're going to try to close this thing down here in just a few minutes. There's some obligations in the home. Now, I know some of you don't like this dirty word. It's a filthy word. It's called work. It scares some people to death. I'm serious. Some people don't like it. They run from it. They detest it. But men, I don't care who you are, you're supposed to work. I can show you in the scriptures that if a man doesn't work, y'all know that scripture. If a man doesn't work, neither does he eat. But if a man doesn't work and neither does he eat, you know what that also means, Brother Kenny? If that natural order, after God ordained the church, ordained the home, and had a certain orderliness about it, guess what? Beyond that, if the obligations of that man in the house are not met, you know what? Neither does he eat. What else happened, Brother Tim? They don't eat. Do you realize there's a whole lot of kids that go home hungry at the end of the long school day, and if they didn't have school for about 9 or 10 months out of the year, Miss Mary, they probably wouldn't even get a meal. Why? Because there's some laziness in the household. It started there somewhere, Brother Gwynn. But there is an obligation inside the household for people to be in a certain order. Right. The obligation is, Brother Kenny, you're supposed to get up and go to work. Right. I understand you're retired now, but you worked. You worked. You sweated. Through blood, sweat, and tears, a man goes out there and he labors and he works. Brother Tim, I don't know how you got this, but you got blood all over yourself earlier. I don't know how you got that. Tore your hand up, probably working. Probably doing something, helping somebody. I know you. You got a servant's heart. Many of you understand what it means to put on a pair of work boots and go to work every day. Man won't work, neither should he eat. But there are some certain obligations in the household. Women have their duties. You said, what's a woman supposed to do? She's supposed to get out of bed and go off to the mill and go to work? Some cases in this latter day, they have to, because we've took on indebtedness beyond our control, and they just have to do it to make ends meet. But a woman's supposed to be the chaste keeper of the home. Supposed to be teaching the children. That's all biblical. Don't get squirrely on me. But if it's all mutual and the husband and wife working together to provide and lead their home, live spiritually under the same roof, bless God, it'll all work together well. They'll be one flesh, and twain, the two come together, and they'll be one flesh, and it'll work out that way. Whenever Adam and that original sin come on, what was their next command from God? They had to dress and keep the vineyard, didn't they? They had to dress and keep the garden. Brother, until that time, they didn't have to do nothing. Just go out there and enjoy it. But after that, do you know what happened, Brother Gwen? Started getting some kudzu, some thistles and briars. And started taking care of it. Sin entered the camp. Men and women, listen, God ordained this thing. He put the origin of the home together. He gave it in a certain order, and then he gave us obligations within the house. I'm telling you what, it doesn't cost you any extra of a room patel, to be honest. It doesn't cost us any extra to be upright at heart. It doesn't cost anybody here, Brother Dean, any extra money to be holy. Why? Be ye holy, for he is holy. It should not be a burden to you to help people. It should not be a burden to you to give of the first fruit of your labors and give that back unto God. It shouldn't be a problem, Brother Tam. And that's the obligation of the home. The home is supposed to be that, Brother Kenny. Because that, if the home's right, the church is right. And if the church is right, the lost and dying world all around us just might see Jesus and get saved by his grace. Yeah. But if the home's out of whack, you know what the first thing you got going on? Got the church out of whack. That's a true story. I don't care if it's Little Elk and Arbor Grove or Calvary. You get the home out of whack, the next thing you know, the church is out of whack. Why? Because the church is made up of homes. That's just the way that it is. You get one out of whack, and it all gets out of whack. Mutually, husbands and wives should be working together for the same cause, to raise their children to fear in the admonition of the Lord, to bring them up in the fear of, in the holiness of an almighty God. That's mutually, morally, they should be upright at heart. They should be wholesome, clean, honest, reverent, a gentle, kind people. They should be in marriage honorable. And I'm going to 1 Corinthians, and many of you probably won't like this one, but I'm gonna get it anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And many won't like it, but it's just the way that it is. God's run it by my heart. We're going to go there. Chapter number 7 of the book of 1 Corinthians. There is some principles under married life that God gave us, and it's supposed to be in the confines of marriage. And if it's that way, it'll work. It'll be right. Here's what it says. Concerning these things, whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his what? His own wife. Ain't that what it says? Let every man, let every woman have her what? Her own husband. And then let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence. What's that mean? Give her affection. Show her love. Show her kindness. Be good to her. And likewise also the wife unto her husband. We good so far? Here's where you start to get a little squirrely. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And the likewise, the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Are we still together? Here's your squirrely verse. Women, if you're mad at your husband, and you forsake or you withhold love from him out of anger or frustration or bitterness or just because you don't like him or you're mad at him, guess what? You're going against the Bible. That word is defraud. Look in there with me. Defraud not. It says defraud ye not. What does that mean? Deprive not. Hold back. It said defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent and for a time, that you give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Let me tell you, Satan's working overtime, and women get mad at men, men get wet at women, and bless God, they sleep in separate rooms and separate houses and separate places, and all because of that, it gives the devil room to work, and he'll come in, and because of that, brother, the home is under assault because of that.
Yes.
Why? Because it's out of order. It's lost its obligation to do what was right, just, and holy. And that's just the way it works. Some of you may not like to hear that. But lastly, you said that's the one we've been looking for. Lastly, there's many opportunities for the home. There's many opportunities for the home. I told you this church, the home of Robbie Shoemate. Can I use you, Robbie? The home of Robbie Shoemate is a picture of what Christ meant. Robbie looked at Tammy. His heart went pitter-patter. He said, who is that? I've heard her story. It's a love story right off the pages. It's better than Disney. Disney had some perverted thoughts in some ways, but yours is God. He looked at Tammy, and Tammy looked at Robbie, and Tammy's eyelids went like that, and Robbie's heart went like that. Next thing you know, they're married. They've got two kids, Catherine and Chris. You said, did they do everything right and everything perfect? I don't know if they did or not. That ain't up to me. But they've got a son that's preaching the gospel. And they got a daughter. I don't know if she's back there today. They might not be here today, but they're in church and they love the Lord. You said, is that where it ends? No. I can't get these to stand up. But they probably brought in 25 or 30 today that would not have been here today. had somebody not had some order and took their obligation seriously. You see how this thing works? And you said, I thought you were down to past the ordaining or the origin, past the obligations. You were down to something else. Yeah, we're on the opportunities. It's an opportunity for them kids to get saved. A whole bunch of them got saved during Bible school. You know how they got here? Because a home was right. Because a home was right. You remember the Philippian jailer? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What happened beyond that scripture right there, preacher? I know you know this. Huh? Yeah. I said, preacher. The Bible said, Brother Kenny, that he got saved and his whole household. They all had a feast and they baptizing and eating and fellowshipping. Why? Because his home got right. Why? Because God put Paul and Silas at the proper place at the proper time. And bless God, because of that, Brother Gwen, you know what happened? A Philippian jailer got saved by God's grace, him and his house. I'm talking about the home was a good opportunity for somebody to hear about God. When I come over here and visit Miss Lori at the hospital, you know who was sitting there? I'll tell you who wasn't sitting there. It wasn't him. No, sitting beside of, where did she go? What are y'all? Broken family. Why are you sitting with him? No, it was, I'm sorry y'all didn't get to sit together today. It was him. You said, well, why was he sitting with her and not him or him? Chris, why were you not down there? Because you're not her husband. He was there beside her bed. Because they are one. I wish. The opportunities in your home are opportunities of salvation, as depicted in Acts 30, 16 and 31. The sweet promises of God are there in the home because the Bible teaches us in 22 and 6 of the book of Proverbs to train up your child in the way that he should go. Why? So that when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Not only is there salvation afforded and some sweet promises, but bless God if you'll surrender to God. Not only in that, but in marriages and praying for a spouse. Be dedicated to the worth and making the house work and everything in it. Be devoted to stay together. I'm reminded time and again about Ruth Graham Bell and Ruth Bell Graham and Billy Graham. She was interviewed numerous and countless times over the years. And one of them come up on the very subject of the home. And the interviewer asked and said, Miss Graham, how did you make it all work being married to the honorable and great Billy Graham with him traveling and his busy schedule? And she said, it was just God, and God made it work. She said, was there ever a time in your life that you just said, I can't live with him anymore? He's busy, he's gone all the time, he's traveling. Is the divorce ever enter y'all's thought process? She said, divorce, never. Not one time. And you know what she said next, Ruth? You do know what she said next because you're grinning. She said, divorce, never. She said, murder? Yeah. She thought about killing him a time or two, but she never thought about leaving him. My friends, the home is so, so precious. God ordained it. He's the originator of it. Miss Macy, come get us a song of invitation today.